Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Wednesday. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve Jones will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And a disappointing loss for the Penn State Nittany Lions last night, just recently ranked number 9th in the recent AP poll. And of course, we had the all-access game on FS1 last night. We'll get to that in a second. But I think what was most disappointing about Penn State last night was the effort put forth in that game. And I think for the first time all year, you saw Penn State kind of smelling themselves a little bit. Just got ranked number 9. You're on an 8-game win streak. You're at home. Illinois's been struggling a little bit. And then lo and behold, they don't play their best game and they get burned. It was especially true on the defensive end. And during the broadcast, when Pat Chambers was mic'd up, there were many times where he was claiming that he had told his team that they needed more effort on the defensive end. Numerous times. And that really killed him last night. Especially, just playing defense in general, but especially on the glass. And it especially killed him late in the second half, where they're just about ready to get a shot clock violation. Boom, they give up an offensive rebound. That leads to a floater from Dosunmu, who was just outstanding and really, really killed Penn State. He was a game-time decision coming in. Boy, he looked pretty 100% to me with the way that game he played last night. And then he gets that floater and make it a four-point game with less than a minute to go, I think it was. And that was pretty much it. That sealed Penn State's fate. Just simple effort plays like that, 50-50 plays like that. Illinois just played like they wanted it more than Penn State last night. And it's a little disappointing to see. Now, I thought, Steve, we would have one of these games from Penn State, but I thought it actually would have been maybe the Northwestern game because you're at home against a really bad team. I didn't think it was going to be this game, but that game is finally coming. Penn State's finally gotten burned, so let's see now if they can learn from it now going forward.
They didn't hit shots.
That too.
That's the biggest part is that when you have your top two, maybe not your top two scores, but two of your scores that have really been big pluses for you combined going 4-for-19, it puts you in a deficit spot. This is one of the few times this season where there wasn't a person that then picked up the rest of the lineup. Lamar went 3-for-11 last night. Miles Dread went 1-for-9. And what Illinois did, this is what helped them out last night. What helped them out is that even when they had shot clock violations, of which there were four in the second half, four shot clock violations in the second half, but when you have a shot clock violation, yes, that's great because you play great defense. Yes, that's great because you got the ball. But they are also dead ball turnovers, which means since they're not live ball turnovers, you're not going to take it and go like Seth Lundy did in the waning moments of the game where he got the steal, got out there, got fouled, then hit two free throws. That's where you don't have that. Is in that particular moment. You don't have that. So they end up being dead ball turnovers. How often have you heard Dick and me say, you're better off just taking the ball and throwing it out of bounds than giving up a live ball turnover, right? Then what really paid off is that when you run the shot clock down, you do have to have a guy that can then break it down off the dribble and make an individual ISO play. Wisconsin had that in Kobe King, who's no longer on the roster. He's left the program. And he did that in the last 5-6 minutes of the Penn State-Wisconsin game back in January and last night, and we talked about him going into the game, that Ayo Dosunmu is an NBA guy. Now, he's maybe not an NBA shooter, but he's an NBA player, and he'll be drafted. And you saw Dosunmu make individual plays with under 8 on the shot clock. And that was the difference. When Penn State got to 41-40, took the lead, I think the perception is that Illinois came right back and took the lead, and that's not true. The game stayed 41-40 for 90 seconds. 90 seconds it stayed 41-40. So Penn State was still getting stops at that stage and getting possessions. Well, Penn State didn't convert possessions. If Penn State were able to convert a couple of possessions and suddenly make this a 4-7 point game, where now it's either a 2 or 3 possession game, that would have gotten Illinois out of its game plan. It is the equivalent of facing the running football team that is running the ball, running the ball, running the ball, working the clock, gaining yards, getting first downs, right? Working the clock, still scoring, playing with the lead, which is always critical. We talk about playing with the lead all the time. But the second they fall behind, usually it's by a couple of scores, they have to abandon their game plan. Now they got to do what they really don't want to do. They have to throw the ball. Penn State could never get Illinois to abandon its game plan last night because they didn't hit shots. Didn't hit shots. And they had good looks last night. Not great. To be honest with you, they didn't have a lot of great looks because Illinois played good perimeter defense. And it's amazing how one play that happens at the end of a half affects the end of the game. I mean, something affects something else as time goes. And it was the technical foul at the end of the half on Mike Watkins. That was going to be a hell ball. Illinois was going to have the ball regardless. But because it's 2 shots plus the ball, the possession arrow didn't flip. Well, because the possession arrow didn't flip, say there had been no technical. If there had been no technical foul, the possession arrow would have flipped. Okay, Illinois would have kept the ball. Penn State would have had the ball to start the second half. That also means that as how the game played out, that held ball at the end of the game with 29.5 to go would have been Penn State's ball. Down 2. Doesn't mean they would have scored. Doesn't mean they would have made the shot. But it's amazing how that play at the end of the first half and the call of it, because, you know, again, the 2-shot technical plus the ball trumps the alternate possession. Well, at the end, then Penn State had to play defense. And I thought that what Penn State did, let's do this in 2 parts. When it was 41-40, Dick and I both felt strongly that Penn State should take it and run it to the rim. Run it to the rim. It's 41-40. Make them foul you. Or make them... Okay? Make them foul you. Or get a bucket. But try to expand the lead. Lamar took a jump shot, and it's a jump shot that he makes in his sleep. I know that. How many of those have I called in my career? That shot from Lamar Stevens, it was a bit long. We both felt that Lamar should run it to the rim at that point. Take it to the rim. Take some contact. And probably should have done it on the next possession, too, and I can't remember who had that possession. But each time it was a jump shot where they could have expanded the 41-40 lead. Crowd's going crazy. You can expand the lead. Could have done that. Didn't. Okay. And again, Lamar took a shot, in all fairness, that he makes in his sleep. And then at the end, we both felt that when Miles Dredd took his three with, I don't know, 12 seconds ago, they should have run that thing to the rim. Because Illinois is not going to foul you. They will not foul you. If they do, they're making a huge mistake. And with young players, they will make mistakes. Instead, they took a tough three. And again, they were only down, I think after Lundy made the two free throws, they're down two, something like that. That's why they could play it out at the end. But it's hard to win. Penn State is 18-2 this season when they've scored 70 points or better, which means they are 2-4 in games in which they have scored under 70 points. The two games that they've won this season where they scored under 70 points happen to be the Yale game and the Indiana game. The Indiana game, they won 64-49. They had 15 steals in that game. Yale, Penn State won the game at the wire. Miles Dredd had a shot to win it. And I think scored the game's last 12 points, I believe. So you have these games like it. And here's the difference, though. I was talking with Will Thiemann, Michigan State's play-by-play voice this morning. And Will says, I can't believe it. And I said, Will, I said, you want to know the difference between how it is viewed? I said, if Michigan State were on an 8-game winning streak, the fan base at Michigan State, and I said, Will, you know this because you and I have been around this forever, would be talking about, we're going to Atlanta, we're going to the Final Four. I think we're going to win it this year. And Will Lapp said, you're right. That's exactly what they say. Here, if Penn State goes on an 8-game winning streak and then stumbles, oh, the sky's falling. I knew it was going to happen. Couldn't last. Right? Tell me I'm wrong. Go ahead. Call me up. Tell me I'm wrong. I mean, Louisville lost a couple times last week. Okay. Louisville lost a couple times last week. That happens. Key for Penn State is to not make 1-2. They've got to go to Indiana Sunday, play them. Indiana scoring is way down the last 3 weeks. I took a long, hard look at that earlier in the week, and their scoring is way down. They had the one big offensive explosion when they beat Iowa, and they and Green had a great game. And his brother Danny was there. Danny Green was there to see his brother Devontae play, and Devontae played really well. I think he had 27 in that game. But other than that, they have struggled scoring, which is unusual for them. And they've got Minnesota tonight at Williams. And they're going to have trouble scoring there, too. The problem that Minnesota has right now is how much... This goes back to what I talked about back in January. In January, I said about Minnesota, when we left that building, I said, those guys are playing so many minutes, they're going to run out of gas. The question is, how low is the tank for Minnesota? Playing at home puts a little more fuel in the tank, and Indiana has struggled on the road. And then, of course, Rutgers is here, and Rutgers is going to play the same way on Wednesday night as Indiana and Wisconsin. It's just the way they play. But Rutgers has to play Michigan tonight at home. I think it's the 200th home game of the Rutgers season. It's been really amazing they've had that many. I've never seen a team have so many home games in my life. I mean, it's like watching Duke. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. By the way, I did not even for I had no plans on watching a replay of last night's broadcast, you know, about the coaches coaching. So I don't, for anybody who watched the broadcast, was it any good last night? I mean, was it worth it?
I would say no. It wasn't, I wasn't overly impressed, but it wasn't a failure. It was somewhere in the middle. I thought it was hard to hear the coaches at first during the broadcast, but then they got their audio got better as the game went on.
Okay.
What was odd, though, is their mic placement. So Illinois' coach and Pat Chambers both had their mics, lapel mics, like almost to their waist.
Okay.
And you couldn't even hear them right off the bat. Their crowd mic that FS1 had was way, way too loud. Because you couldn't even hear the announcers half the time.
Okay. Well, I mean, I wasn't going to watch it anyway, and I'm not going to watch. I mean, I'm not going to. I don't go back. I don't usually go back and watch a game. I don't. I already saw it. I already did it. And in terms of hearing the coaches coach, I hear coaches coach every single day. Okay, like every day I hear them coach. How many times do you see us next to the bench in a broadcast? Okay. Purdue next to the bench, Michigan State next to the bench. I mean, okay, right? Practice. I mean, I watched Joe Paterno firsthand coach every single day for 12. You know, the last 12 years of his career was out there. I was out there different other times over 32 years, but the last 12 every single day. Bill O'Brien every day. James Franklin, I'm out there every day. Pat, I'm out there every day. Ed DeChelsa out there every day. Jerry Dunn, whatever. I've watched coaches coach in front of me forever, so I don't really need to hear them coach a game. I don't really, like, to me, it's like, yeah, whatever. I've heard that. Now, for the fan, you don't. The fan doesn't. That's why my interest in hearing is like, yeah, I've heard that 1,000 times. We're done. Okay.
I will say, though, Steve, it was actually, it was at its best late in the game when coaches are talking strategy, having to make defenses, and you and I were just talking off air with how Iadesumo got wide open late in the game. Pat Chambers had said in the huddle right before, don't let 11 get the ball and make sure you get a rebound. And look, and they did the exact opposite, as we know. Now, so it was those types of things that was interesting to hear, but other than that, I didn't think it was overly successful.
But I'd like to hear from the fans who watched it. Did they get anything out of it?
Yeah.
Just because I wouldn't get anything out of it because I'm around it every day. So my opinion is irrelevant on this. You as the fan, your opinion is relevant because it's something you're not around all the time. So I'd like to know if they think it was worth listening to. We hope Neil Coulon's worth listening to. It's coming up in a few minutes here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. What Illinois did last night only works if two things happen. Number one, Penn State's not hitting shots, and last night they were not hitting shots. And I didn't feel like Penn State was rushing up the floor. I felt in the Wisconsin game they were rushing. No, not last night. They just didn't hit shots. And number two, you can only have a payoff for Illinois if you're playing with the lead and you got a guy like DeSumo who can make the payoff happen with his talent. And he made it happen. He just got into a flow and a rhythm, hit key shots when they needed it, and they were able to win it. And you have to have Penn State not hitting shots, which they didn't. This is where maybe the first time not having Myron Jones, where I really felt like, okay, wait a minute, this is the game, like he could really help them. Even if he scored 10 points last night, that man would have hit a couple shots. That's where I think it came into play. And I have no idea, zero, when he's coming back. I mean, he's been in practice, but he hasn't done anything. I mean, he holds a basketball with a T-shirt on. So I don't know. And I've talked to him, but I'm not. But, you know, people say, well, you talked to him. Why don't you ask him? Excuse me. You can't go through a life being a total jerk, okay? Okay. You don't walk up. So when are you coming back? Is that how you would do it? No, if he wants to tell me, he'll tell me. Right? I've talked to the training staff. I've talked to the doctor, things like that. I've talked with them privately. You know, like, hey, just, you know, what's going on, whatever. But in terms of asking him, when I've talked to him, I've just tried to talk to him, like, kid around with him, like, keep his spirits up a little bit. But do I have any idea when he's coming back? No, none. Zero. So I cannot answer that question for you. And it's not like, it's like, well, you can answer. No, I gave you the honest answer. I don't know when he's coming back. So Penn State's in second place, but they're two games back of Maryland at Indiana Sunday at noon on beginning at 11:30. Tonight, Indiana is at Minnesota. Also tonight, Rutgers is at home with Michigan. Another big day for Rob Manfred. Now, the Major League Baseball, I want to point out in fairness to Rob Manfred, I think he's in Arizona now. All these stops that he's making and he's meeting with the media and so forth, these were all planned ahead of time that he was going to do this as being the commissioner of baseball. So he hasn't been blowing off the media or anything like that. He has kept to his commitments. Now, along the way, while keeping the commitments, which happen to be admirable, especially in a crisis, he has struggled to change the narrative or the message. Here are a couple of comments he made this week.
I have to say I made one mistake, at least, during that long day. And that was in an effort to make a rhetorical point. I referred to the World Series trophy in a disrespectful way. And I want to apologize for that. There's no excuse for it. I made a mistake. I was trying to make a point, but I should have made it in a more effective way. Immediately after the article, we launched an investigation. Our early efforts were not particularly successful in terms of making progress with the investigation. My office then contacted the MLBPA to request player cooperation. We wanted players to submit to interviews. The MLBPA asked if we had a disciplinary intention. I think the response was that we could not rule that out. The union indicated to us that that would be a problem. We went back and suggested to them we would give them an initial list of people, players, that we would grant immunity to, preserving our ability to discipline other players. And the union came back and said that players would cooperate only if there was blanket immunity. And because we were at a bit of a stalemate, we knew we needed player witnesses, we agreed to that immunity agreement.
Yet you already had a player witness. You have Mike Fiers. Mike Fiers already volunteered the information, right? You could have. Now, let's face it, if you're smart about this, you've got Mike Fiers saying this. Now you need to then go find other former Astros former, not current, former, that are with other teams now, that sit back and go, yeah, yeah, they did that. They still kept doing it last season. To me, that's got to be approach number one. Now, maybe you hit a wall because nobody wants to talk. Fires did. But you already had Mike Fires talking about it. When it comes to management, there is no union control over management. Thus, you can go to town when it comes to, I want to talk to Alex Cora. I want to talk to A.J. Hinch. I want to talk to Jeff Luhnow. I want to talk to the training staff. I want to talk to the video replay people. Because you have control over that. They are not unionized. The management part is not unionized. So you can talk to them. When it comes to the players, you already have Mike Fiers. Now, to me, the next approach is, what other former players might be willing to talk? Former players that are no longer with the Astros. Because there's no question, it doesn't take a genius to look at the situation and, I mean, I'm sorry, but Tony Clark's not going to come off well in this either. Tony Clark can talk about union law, things like that. He could talk about all of that. But it is perceived, because of the power of the union and the collective bargaining agreement, that these guys aren't getting suspended. And again, if you wanted to put an end to this, guess what you have to do? You have to suspend players. And let's just take an example. Let's not use an actual name, okay? Let's stay away from using an actual name. So let's just say Bobby Anderson. Boy, they suspended Bobby Anderson for a full season without pay. I'm not banging any trash can, I can tell you that. I can't afford to do that. I can't afford that. I can't afford to lose an entire season without pay. One of the running jokes Jack Ham and I have always had over the years is one of the great things going is suspended with pay. How many times are suspended with pay? That's always been one of the great things. Okay, so I don't have to show up and you're going to give me money? Okay. I'm suspended with pay.
Well, you're certainly right, Steve, in calling out Tony Clark here, because, I mean, basically now, we don't know for sure what efforts Rob Manfred had to try and contact former Astros players to get player witnesses, but in the case of trying to get current players, the MLBPA basically blackmailed him, saying that they're not going to cooperate with the investigation of one of the biggest cheating scandals, one of the biggest scars in baseball history, in their sports history, because they want to get immunity for something they did wrong. I mean, this is equally as bad as how Manfred has handled this whole thing.
Tony Clark is not... Look, his job, obviously, is his rank and file. Okay. So I respect that. But you know what? You know what Manfred probably should have done in all this? Should have taken the Fires in information, done everything they can in terms of interviewing the management, in interviewing the replay people, whatever, and guess what? Just come out and just like, okay, based on our investigation, right, we requested to speak to all these people. They didn't cooperate. based on their lack of cooperation, you're suspended for 3 months without pay, you're suspended for 6 months without pay, and really make a stink out of it.
Exactly.
All right? And now you put them, the union, in a spot like, yo, hey, whoa, you can't do that. Well, they wouldn't talk to us. So guess what? Based on the information we have, they're guilty. Because when Mike Fiers sent out the information, what did you think? I thought they were all guilty. Hey, you got, he's already telling you how it goes, what they're doing.
And plus, if you go that far into just simply saying, we want immunity and then we'll cooperate or else we're not going to cooperate, well, there you go. You're admitting guilt right there.
Right, exactly. I mean, you say, I'm sorry, but based on the information we have, it's a suspendable offense. Now, you don't suspend for a full season, because, you know, but you suspend it for 3 months without pay. And they go, well, you can't do that. You didn't cooperate. And then the union says, hey, not allowed to. Oh, well, then fine. Well, guess what? They're still suspended because we have evidence they did it. We got video evidence. They have video evidence of it, and they also have sound evidence of it. Right? Because guess what? Part of this is sound evidence. You can hear when you're watching this, you can hear the trash can in the background. And remember, Fox in the World Series has microphones everywhere. So all you got to do is just go to Fox and say, okay, you're our broadcast partner. We want all the tapes, the dugout tapes from the World Series. They have to give it to you. They're your broadcast partner. Right? They've got all that stuff. They probably should. I think they should have just said, instead of talking to the players about all this, I think they should have brought in Hinch, Luhnow, right? Crane. Okay, the replay people, right, or you know that are in Houston, or the next one, Boston, because they fall under the guise of management. Why does Pete Rose have a lifetime ban from baseball? Because Pete Rose received a lifetime ban from baseball as a manager. He was management. They could do that to him. The union could not get in the way of anything with Pete Rose. Nothing. The union cannot step in at all. He was part of management. Feel like I'm Mickey and Rocky. She needs a good manager. He's a good manager. I don't need any management. Like the suit the other day was running the staff meeting. That was the exact quote from several people. We don't need any management. Just kidding. But they probably should have just taken Fiers' word for it, interviewed other people, worked around it. And then started suspending people. And the union complained, like, sorry, I mean, we asked for a list, nobody cooperated. So since they didn't cooperate, you know, we need to clean this up. That's probably how they should have done it. Now, every day there's a clarification. Well, when you're trying to clarify something every single day, you are doing a lousy job of messaging. And if you have to clarify it every single day, that means you've still got a firestorm that you cannot... it is a wildfire that is out of control and spreading. Now you got Tony Clark going around, and he's meeting with various teams, and guess what? They, the rank and file, are not happy either. You've got people who feel like they lost out on a chance at a championship, that lost out on a chance at MVPs, and others who, by the way, may have lost out on at least some sort of career, in part because of what these guys were doing. I know you're a big Yankee fan, but the Yankees need to just kind of keep cool through all of this. I mean, I don't blame Aaron Judge for feeling the way he does, but boy, the Yankees, I mean, the PED era was not very kind to the Yankees.
Yeah, I agree. Right? It's time for everybody to move on now.
Well, that's not, no, it's not time to move on. You can't move on from this one.
Well, it's in terms of the other players around the league making comments.
I mean, if I'm upset, I mean, I'd be upset if I were them, but at the same time, I mean, right now it's the players who are keeping it alive. Because they're just flat out mad. What makes sports special is the fact that it's unscripted. And we, as a fan base of sports, we are trusting the integrity of it. And any time that that integrity is breached, now your sport has a big, big problem. Because if people don't feel they can trust it, they don't want to go to it. Unless it's the WWE. But everybody knows that's scripted. I know. I mean, you should have seen the suit's face the first time I told him that. I mean, really, like, he was crestfallen. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Coming up on Friday's show, you're going to love this. Joey Brackets will join us. Joe Lenardi will join us on the show Friday to talk about what he has to this point with the NCAA tournament. And also Nate Bauer, Blue White Illustrated, and the King will be on Friday's show. You can see Matt now writing it down as we speak. How do you spell Lenardi? L-U-N-D-A-R-I. Absolutely. The suit was going to be on for the entire hour, and then we actually found, like, interesting guests. All right, so, what? We always bring them on to do college football picks now. Thursday, he keeps giving up the Thursday time slot to the Chief. Chief does most of the analysis on Shikellamy football. So Matt said, you know, maybe we should have the suit on for an hour Friday. I said, let's get Joe Lenardi. Let's get Nate Bauer. I just thought it was a better way to go. Yeah, I know you disagree.
No, it's this time. It's March now. We got to bring Joey Brackets on.
Yeah, well, he's on the show Friday. And if you don't like Joe Lenardi, you don't like people. He is one of the nicest guys on the planet. I've known Joe for a long time. Hoops Weiss was here last night, too. It's always good to see. It's another guy. Hoops Weiss, ultra knowledgeable, but just a really great guy. Great writer, too, but great guy. Next half hour, Neil Kulong will join us. We'll talk about Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph. And then there's Major League Baseball, the Houston Astros, the gift that keeps on giving to every talk show in America. Every day, they do or say something, you say, well, we could talk about that for an hour. Someday we'll talk about the games. But not yet.
Which do start Saturday, by the way.
This is gonna hang over baseball for a long time.